us. And our guest today is Randy Pitney. Good morning, Randy.
Good morning, Jen.
Now, Randy, you've been involved with the shooting sports for pretty much your whole life up here.
My whole life up here, yes.
So you were the longtime coach for UAF rifle team, right?
That's correct.
And you even sat on the national board for the National Rifles Association, didn't you?
I sat on several other boards and the Olympic Committee, yes.
Yeah. So we are talking today about the history of the Tanana Valley Sportsmen's Association, TVSA. We're on Problem Corner quite often with the Laundry House Gang, who meets over there every Wednesday. But today we wanted to talk about the history of the association. Randy and I both went to one of the monthly meetings last month. We're on hiatus for September because of the hunting season. But TVSA meets the first Tuesday or Wednesday?
Second Tuesday.
It's the second Tuesday of the month over at the clubhouse. Now, some of you remember the old log cabin clubhouse that used to be across from Fred Meyer's over on the river near the forestry building where that Sunshine Coffee Hut is, between Compos and Forestry over there. That old clubhouse burned down around 2007, and now they've got that nice new indoor range where the troopers practice, the homeschool rifle team practices, the UAF rifle team sometimes is over there. There's been a few gun shows there, but it's a nice indoor filtered range that was rebuilt after the fire. How long have you been associated with TVSA, Randy?
Well, I got here right after the flood, and I have been actually a lifetime member of TVSA since 1968 when I was a wildlife student at the university, and a lifetime member of the Rifle and Pistol Club since 71. After I left the university team, everybody went to the TVSA.
Because that was one of the only places to shoot, and it was the only indoor place to shoot, wasn't it?
Yes, university that Dr. Wood had a big part in building in 1962. It's still there and very usable. And then the Sportsman's Club had in their downstairs of their old building, and now we've got the nice new clubhouse now with a range in it.
Yeah, the old building used to have that wood stove in it, and we would huddle around, and sometimes we'd have to circulate around the room like around a campfire. It'd get too hot in one corner, too cold in the other when we'd have our meetings.
Well, that's true, and that stove was the end of that building. But there was a boiler downstairs, and there was residual heat that went upstairs, but the building was kept above freezing all the time. And like I said, the range was downstairs. That building, the TVSA started in 1937. We had a 50th anniversary in 87, obviously. And later on in the very early 50s, the clubhouse was built. And it was actually the one, as we remember, that burned down. And it was actually made of old telephone poles.
Oh, my goodness.
So it looked like a log building, but it was actually old telephone poles. And, of course, when the place burned, those old creosote telephone poles burned.
Even with the weathering, they probably still had some of the creosote in there.
They did. They kind of looked like it was all gone, but I'm sure it was inside there someplace because it really burned.
Well, I first became acquainted with TVSA, Tanana Valley Sportsmen's Association, in 2003 maybe a year or two before that, but when I came to Fairbanks to run the Alaska Outdoor Council, that's when I found out that the council, statewide organization, at the time that I was there, it was the state's largest advocacy group for outdoor issues, hunting, fishing, access, and public lands, public waters, that it was formed by three organizations: the Tanana Valley Sportsmen's Association in the north, the Mat-Su Sportsmen's Association in South Central, and the Territorial Sportsmen's Association in Juneau, representing Southeast. But the three had come together to unify their voice, and they had always had a history of being involved in the regulatory process, even pre-statehood, because TVSA and Territorial, they were formed before we even had a state.
That's correct.
And you've been looking into the history lately. You know, we had a recent meeting over there, and we're just going to be doing the intro here before we have our break at the 15th. Those breaks, they keep complicating our discussion time on here, but we're grateful for our sponsors to keep the radio show up and running. But today we're going to be talking about the history of Tanana Valley Sportsmen's Association. We would love to take callers throughout, and the number is 458-TALK, 458-8255. We're going to be talking about the original formation and the original purpose, because just like people, organizations go through different personality changes depending on who's on their board, who's involved in the club, and it depends on what we're talking about, how many people we see there. We know we have more members out there than usually show up for the membership meetings, but we've only been seeing about, you know, 20, 25 people over at the clubhouse when we've had our membership meetings. Sometimes we've had some really good speakers, and we'll get as many as 50 people crammed in there. But we also have a business meeting, and we talk about what the club stands for, what the club intends to do. And it is almost dividend time, so I will put in a plug that TVSA is part of the Pick, Click, Give, and people can donate their time, talent, or treasure when you're looking at your dividend and applying for that each year. To further the purpose of the organization, which always has included advocacy, hasn't it?
Exactly, and that's kind of how it was formed. When I was rifle coach, I did, my latter years, did put together a small book on the history of the rifle team at UAF that started in 1925, potentially even 23. It was a team club at that time. But there was a shooting club here in Fairbanks like as early as 1902, 1904, and they shot outdoors, obviously, at Engineers Creek, where the pipeline runs through now. But this group of people that had the same interests of conservation and hunting and fishing got together and decided to form the Sportsman Association, like I said, 1937. And TVSA is kind of what's considered the godfather, godmother of the activities outdoors. There's been many groups that have spawned off of this, the Trappers Association.
They were a satellite, like a satellite show from the main show.
They were, yeah, exactly. But they're autonomous now. The Dip Knitters Association and Snowmobilers Association, the Airboaters started in there. There's just been a whole ton of different wildlife groups, outdoor groups that have taken off from the TVSA.
That's amazing. We're going to take a break and listen to our sponsors, and we will be back on Problem Corner talking with Randy Pitney about the history of Tanana Valley Sportsman's
Association. More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Hardworking Alaskans need hardworking printing solutions, and that's exactly what you'll find at Advance Printing. Since 1980, we've proudly supported Alaska's industrial companies with custom trucking forms, driver's logs, business invoices, and more. Specializing in bulk printing and mailing services, we understand the unique demands of Alaskan industries. With fast turnaround and a commitment to excellence, Advance Printing is your local partner for reliability and precision. Visit hotprinter.com or call us at 907-451-1111.
Advance Printing, where your business means a mint to us.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
Just a little heads up before something bad happens.
Move your coffee cup away from your computer.
Oh, no.
So you can have more control.
Stop. You're texting your boss by mistake.
Uh-oh. Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes like managing your weight, getting active, stopping smoking, and eating healthier, you can stop prediabetes before it leads to type 2 diabetes. It's easy to learn your risk. Take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org.
Warning, the cap is loose on that ketchup.
Ugh. Don't wait. You have the power to change the outcome. Visit doihaveprediabetes.org today. That's doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Hi, it's Chuck Indereed, your host for Shooter's Corner, the show dedicated to firearms conversation and education and the shooting sports. You'll be on target for fascinating guests, expert tips, gear reviews, plus thrilling stories. Get the lowdown on local 2A events and more. You won't want to miss a single episode. Join me, Chuck Indereeden, every Thursday morning at 11 for Shooter's Corner, where precision meets passion. Sponsored in part by Rogers Auto Repair. Listen right here on KFAR 660 AM.
KFAR Weather.
chance for scattered rain showers today, otherwise cloudy. Daytime highs approaching 55. Northerly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected tonight, showers likely, lows dip down to about 40. Chance for showers tomorrow, 59. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
And we're back on Problem Corner. I'm your guest host, Jennifer Juhas, and we're talking with Randy Pitney about the history of TVSA, the Tanana Valley Sportsmen's Association here in Fairbanks. And we just went through the history that several of the sportsmen's groups that we know and love today here in Fairbanks in the interior were actually satellited off of the original formation of Tanana Valley Sportsmen. So we've got the Dipnetters, the Trappers. What other groups, Randy?
Well, there's been the Airboaters, the Single Action Shooters, the Muzzleloader group started in there and still very close. Wildlife groups, the Wildlife Society up at the university. But one of the big ones, long ago, Mike Kramer Sr. and myself started Fishing is Fun Day. That Fish and Game now runs out of a big pond there.
Yes, by that's the fishing right.
But it was started in a 12-foot swimming pool with fish they brought in right in the parking lot of TVSA.
And it was one of those stand-up fishing?
One of those little, no, blow-up.
A blow-up pond?
Yeah.
And you got Fish and Game to bring some of the catchlings in. How did you do that?
Fish and Game, where Mike Kramer Sr. worked at the time, brought in grayling and they, or maybe it was silver salmon, but they were in this 12-foot blow-up swimming pool, and there were a lot of kids there, but that has evolved into the hundreds that we see now down at the Fish and Game building, which is a good thing. But TVSA has been behind a lot of good things that have started in this town.
So there's always been the shooting programs, and they go hand in hand with the advocacy. People from TVSA and official letters have been written, you know, from TVSA over the years, whether it's been Board of Game Regs, Board of Fish Regs, the different times that we've had to maintain shooting being legal and oppose firearm bans and possession bans and make sure that we can enjoy our pastimes. If you don't have the ability to teach hunter safety ed and introduce people to the shooting sports, I worked with Joe Nava to teach the women's basic pistol class and home firearm safety. And so, you know, trying to do things for the beginners as well as the marksmen. And the marksmen, AIMCOM, I think, came out of this, right, as well, the folks that do the match shooting.
Exactly right. And TVSA isn't a political action group. AOC has a branch there that takes care of that. But you mentioned the Women's Pistol Group, and a very close friend of mine that just recently passed away, Larry Hannison, was the grandfather of that whole operation.
I got an opportunity to visit Larry over the last couple of months, and what a great man Fairbanks lost on Monday. Everyone I talk to says either, you know, he was my rifle coach, he was my basketball coach, he was the voice of wrestling at Lathrop for 30 years, he was everyone's favorite eighth grade math teacher. Just, I'm grateful for the time that we have or had with him these last couple of months, and we had a parade of people coming through. I felt sorry for his roommate over at Denali Center who really didn't have any visitors, but just too soon to lose such a good person in Larry Hannison.
Yeah, a great man, 6'7", Icelander from North Dakota, and he was always known as the gentle giant. What a pleasure to work with him. He and I worked on the gun shows at the university for at least 17 years, since 1985.
We always bought our raffle ticket from him when we'd see someone else at the Friends of the NRA table, and I told Paul, no, we buy it from Larry. And Paul won three different firearms over the years buying that magic ticket from Larry. The first time I met him, he was in charge of bringing the tables from TVSA over to the Alaska Outdoor Council banquet. He was, you know, they said, don't worry about it. I was planning the first banquet in Fairbanks. He said, are you sure? Don't worry about it. Some of us that are events planners worry about everything. And nope, this big old guy just showed up with all the tables, got them all set up when the event was over, took them all back down. That we got to talk, you know, over the last couple of months, spent a lot of time over at the hospital and then Denali Center with him. And I'm going to be using some of the time at the school board meetings. This is the every 6 years they revisit their curriculum. And Larry and I had extensive discussions about wanting to get Hunter Safety Ed back into the schools, and really his thought that it not be in PE, and he had been a PE teacher, that he would like to see it in the Alaska studies, even if it's just an elective, that we'll be working on that throughout the winter. And he wasn't feeling real good at the end, so I didn't get the audio. I wanted to do some audio recording maybe to use that as testimony, but you know, I have everything he told me while we were sitting there. But yeah, Larry was committed to the youth and to the ladies, and introducing new shooters to firearm safety so that they could feel comfortable.
Yeah, just a really fine person, visiting multiple times there at Denali Center. He knew he was on his way out, but a great person.
And he left everything to raise funds for the youth shooting sports and Hunter Safety Ed as well. He wants to make sure that folks are giving young people the opportunity to get out in the outdoors.
Exactly. And one of the programs that we've had at TVSA in the past, and I expect we will in the future, is the Hunter Ed program. A fellow named Tom Halverson is running it over here locally. Anybody wants to get involved, I know they're always looking for instructors, and if you want to be a student there, contact him.
Yeah, so instructors get a hold of the Alaska Department of Fish and Game, and the certification really is not that hard if you know your material, and you know, it doesn't take too long at all to be certified to do that. We do need instructors, and you don't have to teach the whole thing. You can do a segment of things, and then for students or some of our teachers or our homeschool parents out there, you can actually get school credit for taking the Hunter Safety Ed classes.
Exactly right. I teach quite a few of those classes, and you don't have to be there the whole time. Sometimes I'm on the range. Sometimes I do the field training. Sometimes it's classroom stuff. But, yeah, I'd like to see people get involved in that.
And any of the youth who go through that Hunter Safety Ed in the course of a year have the opportunity to compete in the YHEC Youth Hunter Education Challenge every June, first Saturday in June, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, over at Kramer's Field and a few other venues. You get a chance to compete for points, meet new friends, and then we send either a small team or the high individuals get to go off and compete at nationals. And they have everything from tracks identification to a shooting test to ethics to the archery, making sure you've got a field pack properly packed, making sure that you're asking a landowner for permission before you enter where you're going. And I've helped in the field portion of that for a lot of years. But Larry always helped with that and supported that.
Yep. Fine man.
So we're talking about the history of Tanana Valley Sportsman's Association, and right now there's a lot going on at the range. There's a little bit less going on with conservation, but over the years we have had, for so many years, a monthly speaker talking about the fish populations or the caribou or how to properly take care of your hide. We had trapping discussions last winter. What do you envision is coming, Randy?
Well, I can see us getting back to the meetings a little stronger, but there we've had it had and will have on ice fishing, burbot fishing, moose calling. That's been a popular one, very popular one.
Some of the newer fellows, berry picking.
Yeah, we actually had over 200 people in there with predator control one time, and that was the old building, and we're lucky the floor lasted on that. Fish and Game frequently comes and talks on different topics there, from bison, like we mentioned previously, the Hunter Education Program. Usually, it used to be Bob Hunter would come in and talk about that. Another important one that we've had, remember, it's an educational club association by our Articles of Incorporation. But a big one we've had is what it takes to hunt and just travel on military land, and also the pipeline. And the pipeline has a thing that they have called the rug or rag. And for your ability to be able to run your four-wheeler or snow machine or whatever on the pipeline, you need to have permission from them. Again, everything's mostly online. Another big program that we've had is a department come and talk about fish and game regulations. And how, if you'd like to get them changed, say like you want to get the, and I'm just using this as an example, if you want to get the thing changed in the Chena River for keeping one grayling, they tell you exactly how to go through it.
how to utilize the board in the advisory committee process. Over the years, a number of the TVSA officers have also been on the Fish and Game Advisory Board, and so many of the members have come and testified to either open or restrict a season or a bag limit or a method of take or harvest. Usually open it up, but when we're conservation-minded, you know, we're also looking at closing things down so that a population can recover, because hunters are the first conservationists.
Exactly right. We've had people from the National Park Service come and talk. Years and years ago, when it was McKinley Park, when they were going to stop all vehicular traffic, or most all of it, and have people ride buses, the people from the Park Service came in and talked about what's now Denali National Park.
And that building is being utilized, that newer fancy building, you know, from the log cabin, has always been utilized for different meetings, you know, whether it's been the Dipnetters or the Airboaters or someone else. But we have a lot of meetings over there. The Laundry House Gang meets every Wednesday at noon. So right after this, a lot of people will be there who aren't going to a celebration of life today. Yeah, and it's just a good community space over there.
Well, and since we're talking about history, and we talked about the old building burning down almost 20 years ago, how was a new building built? Well, it takes money. And we had 13 acres of land that was established by the forefathers, and there's some big names there. Bill Stroker, Usabelli.
Yes.
Jay Hammond was involved, Joe Nava, Glenda Spain, E.R. Johnson, great Cub pilot. Morrow, Stu Watkins, a gold medalist in the Pan Am Games, da-da-da-da-da. But we had 13 acres of land there, and it was subdivided up. Well, first of all, the 13 acres.
That it does that to us. It breaks in right at the half hour, Randy, so they're going to send us to a break. It's not one of the ones I control. I'll control the one on the quarter, and we'll be back with more Problem Corner.
KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM.
This is a Fox News alert. I'm John Saucier. The Federal Reserve has decided to cut its key interest rate by a quarter point today and projected it would do two more cuts possibly this year as concern grows of the central bank about the health of the nation's labor market. This move is the Fed's first rate cut since December. Immediately following the cut, markets were mixed, although the Dow was heading up. FBI Director Kash Patel testifying before the House Judiciary Committee. The Bureau is investigating the killing of conservative activist Charlie Kirk. Patel pledges to fully investigate any groups who President Trump has accused of promoting political violence.
Investigatively speaking, we are doing the following. We are following the money. We are following the money in every organization and every person that is violating the federal code. And it doesn't matter what your background or ideology is, we are following the money.
Investigators believe this alleged shooter may have acted alone. America's listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
A panel of state lawmakers voted 9-2 last week to approve spending up to $100,000 on a lawsuit against Governor Mike Dunleavy, according to James Brooks with the Alaska Beacon. The lawsuit, if filed, would challenge the governor's decision to press ahead with plans to create a cabinet-level Alaska Department of Agriculture via executive order. The governor issued an executive order in January, but lawmakers rejected it in a 32-28 vote in March, saying saying they prefer to create it through legislation instead. Creating the department through legislation, legislative leaders said, would allow lawmakers to debate and structure the department how they wish instead of relying on the governor's plan alone. Dunleavy disagrees with that approach and in August filed a new executive order during a 30-day special session. The leaders of the House and Senate refused to accept the filing, saying that it was not within the governor's power to issue an executive order during a special session or to reintroduce an already rejected order.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
Nowadays, nothing is more important than saving money. And the best way to do that is with the radio station's 50-50 Friday offer. Every week, a different special from a different local business, offering gift certificates at half price. All from your favorite restaurants, shops, and events. So what's this week's 50-50 Friday offer?
This week's 50-50 Friday offer is from Fairbanks Nissan. Hey, we travel a lot in Alaska, and regular oil changes are a must. You'll get a certificate for an oil change for a light-duty truck or car with synthetic oil for half price. This service is normally $100, but this week it's yours for just $50. You'll enjoy excellent service at Fairbanks Nissan, and all makes and models are welcome. Save half on your next oil change with this awesome 50-50 Friday deal from Fairbanks Nissan. Grab that deal this Friday on this station's website.
Just log on to this station's website and click on that red 50-50 tag in the upper right-hand corner. Have your credit card ready and get ready to save big. 50-50 Friday, every Friday at 9 a.m. from the radio station.
Hi there, my name's Garrett Armstrong. I appreciate our seniors. My parents are both in their 70s and still going strong here in Fairbanks. And I appreciate the wisdom, the experiences, and the volunteering that seniors contribute to make our community a better place. On the Assembly, I want to support our seniors, whether it's making parks and rec facilities more accessible to seniors or improving transportation options. I want to make sure people can enjoy their golden years. If you support seniors, then vote for me, Garrett Armstrong, for Borough Assembly this October 7th. Paid for by Garrett Armstrong for Borough Assembly. P.O. Box 73724, Fairbanks, Alaska 99707.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
And we're back on Problem Corner with Randy Pitney. We are talking about the Tanana Valley Sportsmen's Association. You're pointing at your headphones.
I don't have you.
You don't have me? We are both... I can hear me. You can't hear me?
There you go.
There you go. Okay, you had to touch your dial down there. And so we're talking with Randy Pitney, and right before we were so rudely interrupted by our break, you were about to talk about the 13 acres of land, which is how we paid for the new clubhouse when the old one burned down.
So long ago, 70s, early 80s, after the pipeline, the powers to be in the trustees, and I was actually one of them, trustees are like the board of directors, decided to make a big arena there since we're right on the Chena River and ran out slips for boats and float planes and things like that. So a whole bunch of gravel was taken out and sold to build this big pond. And a lot of it, I believe, was sold to the state, and they used it on a road someplace. So then... later on, when they were building the new airport road, they ended up having to fill that whole pond back in. So we kind of double-dipped on the gravel there with the state, which was nice because that money and what was the land divided, the 13 acres, and there's a first shop in one of them. I think there's a plumber's union on one of them, or 375. The coffee stand, a hotel.
I didn't realize that segment was also the TVSA previous land.
Yep, all of that. So it was subdivided and it was sold off, and that's where the money came to.
Luckily, we kept that strip right on the river with the picnic tables because it's such a nice, quiet place.
We did. We kept the 2 acres. That was never going to go away, although we frequently thought about maybe selling that because it's very valuable land. You know, they got it for nothing way back in the 30s, but and moving out on Van Horn Road and building a new clubhouse out there. Fortunately, we didn't because I like our place.
I like our place. If you're wondering where Tanana Valley Sportsmen's Association is, it's right across from Fred Meyer's in between the hotel and Compos over there, right on the river. And it's well decorated. There's an indoor range there. There's a whole bunch of programs. Go to Tanana Valley Sportsmen's Association.com and look up what programs are there. There's some introductory classes. There's some open range time. That is also how they pay to keep the doors open. There's some locker rooms there. We've got the youth shooters that practice there. The troopers practice there. I guess they've had the public defender's office and the AG's office in there before just for training. But there's a number of programs going on. We'd love to see you get involved. And if you want to call in today because you either are interested in being a member, you're a previous member, or you have something to add to the history, the phone line here at KFAR is 458-TALK, 458-8255. And I just got word at the break that we will have former Attorney General Treg Taylor, who has announced his run for governor this morning, will be our guest on Friday. So we will be on the line on Friday with Treg Taylor for the whole hour and taking calls. But right now we're talking with Randy Pitney about the history of TVSA. So we had that original 13 acres. And then we subdivided that, kept that nice little piece where it's just such a great place to meet. It's a good community space when they can open it for us to have a meeting.
It is, and it's very easy for people to get to, like the 4-H group that's used it in the past, local high schools. It's all close. If we'd been out on Van Horn Road, it'd have been a little more difficult.
And there's ample parking, and we've got, how many lanes do we have in there? Do we have 8 or 10 shooting lanes?
There's 2 sets of 8.
Two sets of 8.
Yes.
Okay. So we've actually got 16 lanes.
Yes. And some's used for air rifle, some for small bore, or you can use it all for one or all for the other. And there's another indoor. They've set up an air rifle range in the clubhouse part, too. So when the university has teams come in, and because of NCAA rules, if the school shoots at one place and then another venue, then they get the credit for the two different places, but back to NCAA rules.
Interesting. Interesting.
Athletic director and a rifle coach up there, and we won't get into NCAA rules.
Well, we've got some, donated mounts hanging on the wall, and then one of Larry Hannison's favorite pieces that's over there is there's the tin hole punch where someone drew a design, and it looks like a Native American's headdress in there that was all shot at 100 yards with a rifle to punch the tin to make that design. And they had found that had survived the original fire, and that's back up on the wall over there.
Yeah, that it was a famous cowboy shooter that shot that freehand, apparently.
Yes.
Kind of interesting. And Sam White, an old-time fishing game officer up here back in the 20s and 30s, he has things up on the wall, his gun, I think, and things like that.
And we now have one of Larry Hannison, again, our friend, recently passed. He was such a humble man. He had kept this plaque of his in his desk since he had won been awarded the NRA Friends of NRA Lifetime Achievement Award for his volunteer efforts. And when he was in the hospital, he said, would it be bragging too much if I wanted that on the wall? And we said, Larry, I've wanted that on the wall for years, and you keep it in your desk. Yes, so we have that over at the coffee station, because Larry always had the coffee on in case you wanted to stop by when he was keeping the range open. So many people in our community have been associated with TVSA, Bud and Sally Burris, Larry, and you were mentioning so many others.
There's been a wealth of people in this town through there, yeah.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about the programs that TVSA has had. We started off with the speakers, always the shooting. They really go hand in hand. You get folks who are in the NRA, Safari Club International, and Congressional Sources Foundation understand that people tend to be more of a leg in one camp than another. They're either a shooter who sometimes does some hunting, or they're really into the hunting who practices shooting so they can go out and be out in the woods. And TVSA has always had both.
Oh, that's exactly right. And a lot of my sentiments, obviously, is being an international shooter myself and a coach at the university, a lot of my sentiments lie with shooting. But as I said earlier on, I was a member of TVSA and started in 68, and then the RNP. And they used to be almost two separate clubs. They were two separate clubs with their own bylaws. and the R&P was kind of under the umbrella of the Sportsman's Association, and they've done away with the R&P, and it's still under the umbrella of the Sportsman's Association.
So we have a caller. Do you want to take one caller before we go to
Certainly.
Our next break? Good morning. You're on Problem Corner.
Hello, this is Randy.
Hi, Randy. I'm supposing this is Randy Griffin to talk to Randy Pitney.
Yeah. Now, this is trivial, but I just wanted to say once again that just like yesterday, the bottom of the hour break was real low volume. I don't know if you have signal strength meters where you can get them even with you, and you sound fine, but the news was real weak. But anyway, that's trivial, but I actually do have a subject matter call. I was just this is something I don't know anything about, but I'm just curious, just popped in my head. Lead, when it hits the target at the end of an enclosed shooting range, does that make some kind of little lead particles, and they have to have a special ventilation or air filter system or something, or is that not an issue at all, or what? I have
it's
no
a
idea.
Huge, expensive issue, Randy.
Oh.
Yes.
Well, it is, and I'm on the NRA's range technical team that deals with range safety, and that being one of them. There are several different methods of capturing the lead bullet. One, the NRA and their big range in their new building that's 30 years old probably now, but it would hit and hit at a 45 and go around in a tube and come out and around, land on a tray, and the tray had a conveyor belt, and it would be taken out in the end. But and some use sand traps, and some use water traps, which is very good. So cleaning the lead out is one part of the issue, but any air, lead in the air particles. And with rifle shooting, there's very little. Most of the stuff, all the stuff you smell is gunpowder residue. But they have air handling systems. The fishing game range on College Road has a very expensive one. TVSA and their new range has a very expensive one. And all new ranges around the country are obligated to go with these. You still see some, I guess, in I think a place called Shed, Oregon that I used to shoot, and there's places in South Dakota that you see pictures of all the gunpowder they got in the floors and the building blows up and things. All of those have gone by the wayside, fortunately. But air handling systems take care of that.
Well, and the regulations on that are so overwhelming. It's almost like the mining regulations where the water has to be cleaner than it was when you used it. You know, those filters are making the air nearly pristine at this point, and they're very, very expensive.
Well, thank you very much.
Always appreciate you calling in, Randy.
Okay, bye.
Yeah, we'll have to work on this the second time this week. He said that the news at the bottom of the hour was soft, but, you know, the folks came in here, as Randy as my witness here, they helped me with the buttons today. Everybody at the staff here, Melissa and Glenner even came in, just I got triple checked. I think three different people checked the buttons today. So not sure what operator error that is, but we'll try and make sure that on Friday when we have Trek Taylor on that the news break is at an acceptable volume for Randy. I appreciate you always giving that feedback, Randy. But this Randy, you know, we're still talking about TVSA. I'm a life member. You're a life member. You've been a life member longer than I have been.
Probably before you're born, Jen, yeah.
Well, you said 1968, and I was born in 69, so I did
yep.
chuckle about that a little bit.
Tough to get old.
I've still got a lot of years in me, and hopefully a lot of years to be volunteering and supporting Tanana Valley Sportsman's Association. If you're not a member, go to TVSA. Just Google Tanana Valley Sportsman's Association. Find the webpage. Find some programs. Come to a few meetings. Find out what's going on and be involved and find out what's going on in the community through there. It's really been a community hub. I mean, now we have this social media, but, you know, that's what Fairbanks was built on, was the social connections of, you know, it's so cold up here, you have to be nice to your neighbors. And Fairbanksans don't get bored. You know, my first couple of winters here, we knew it was going to be cold and dark, but people are hustling and bustling all around town. And TVSA has been one of those places that people have come. We do need to go ahead and press the button on that break, so we will be back in a couple of minutes with Problem Corner.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Backed by popular demand, the Fairbanks Hearing and Balance Center reintroduces Walk-In Wednesdays from 8 to 4. Bring in your hearing aids to have them cleaned and adjusted, even if you purchase them somewhere else. This will keep your aids running at their best, making sure you don't miss anything. And if you're struggling with hearing loss, you can come in and get a second opinion to see if there's something available to help you hear better. Walk-In Wednesdays from your friends at the Fairbanks Hearing and Balance Center. Find out more at fairbankshearing.com.
You find your calm and steady out on the trail, wherever Alaska's wilderness calls you, and you keep answering that call. Every time, the next hunt, the next fishing trip, or camping with the family. Living in Alaska gives you the opportunity to explore. Finding your Alaska is a journey that will always lead you just beyond your next campsite. Frontier Outfitters is here, so you can be there. Alaskan proven equipment, the brands you trust. Frontier Outfitters, for your Alaskan lifestyle.
This is Mayor David Pruse. We've had an incredible 3 years together. I'm running for re-election as your city mayor. I've led our fantastic city in expanding our ambulance service, increasing the police presence, removing derelict and dilapidated structures, cleaning up blighted properties, and increasing our street maintenance and snow plowing services. The city of Fairbanks is the best run municipal government in the interior, if not the state of Alaska. I want to continue this for our wonderful city, so please vote for me, David Pruse, the Fairbanksan, on Tuesday, October 7th.
Paid for by David Pruse for mayor. 324 Brandt Street, Fairbanks, Alaska, 9970.
KFAR weather.
Chance for scattered to rain showers this afternoon. Otherwise, cloudy skies. Highs around 55. Northwesterly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Overcast again tonight. Rain showers likely. Lows dip down to about 40. A mix of clouds and sun tomorrow. Chance for showers 59. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Welcome back to Problem Corner. We are on the air with our guest, Randy Pitney, and we are talking about the history of Tanana Valley Sportsmen's Association. Now, you were in charge of the programs, the monthly programs, for many years.
Yeah, I think 9 years at one point in time and a few others here and there. We can have really great programs there, and it needs to evolve back to that a little bit. And it's all about advertising, getting the word out that we have a thing on moose calling this month, or we have a on burbot fishing, or
because I have been surprised. There's times when we have a really exciting speaker, I think, and there's four of us there to listen to them. And then I think, oh, I'm out and about. I guess I'll stop by. I didn't think the speaker, you know, really appealed to me that much. And there's 60 people in the room, and there's nowhere to sit. But that camaraderie and trading of information when we're all there for something else, whether it's berry picking or moose calling, you know, we're still in the setting of the range, and we're talking about, you know, the support of the shooting sports and getting together to further the cause in one way or another. It's a lot of it, like anything, is relationship based, and we're building those relationships when we're seeing each other once a month.
Exactly right.
You know, without that connection, that's when things kind of go by the wayside. We've got one more caller here. Do we want to try and pick it? Maybe it's Randy telling us that the news was loud enough, but we'll see. Good morning. You're on Problem Corner.
I just have some memories about an auction that took place at TVSA, Howard Koons' collection.
We'd love to hear it.
That was one of the best firearm auctions I've ever been to, and I've seen a lot of them. But
when was that?
74, probably. He was killed out at Muncho Lake, maybe, or I don't know, something like that. A bear killed him.
Oh, no. Lake Minchumina, maybe?
No, the other way.
Yeah, down on the peninsula. Howard was a great friend of mine. He was an accountant in town here. That two-story log place on Airport Road there, you see out there, that's about Washington Street or someplace in that area. And when he retired, he moved to Delta Junction, bought some land, had a little store there, and he, we used to go down and hunt crane on his property, but he was killed by a bear, actually.
Goodness.
Ran into the water trying to get away from the bear, and his wife was there.
Oh,
the
no.
Whole time. It was a sad deal.
And so, caller, you're saying there was an auction, and it was the best auction you'd been to?
Most selection of pepper box revolvers I've ever seen. Yeah, that's what I remember most. I bought a Martini Action 22 target rifle there. My dad bought it for me.
Wow.
Yeah, Howard was a great collector of firearms.
I used that at Lathrop High School three times a week. Bud Burris was the coach.
Loved Bud Burris and Sally.
We shot 100 rounds Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So we figured 300 rounds a week during the school year for 4 years. That's a lot of ammo.
Do you still have that firearm?
I don't.
You don't?
Traded it for a .44 Magnum when I got old enough to buy a pistol.
Hopefully some youngster got to practice with that the same way that you did. That's a wonderful story.
I love Bud Burris.
Really loved Bud Burris, too. He's a real class act. So many of the people who've been associated with TVSA that I've gotten to know. Bud is someone I really looked up to.
Yeah, Bud and Sally both, and actually one of the ranges at TVSA of the two are named after Bud and Sally. Sally passed away several years back, and Bud just passed away a year or so ago, and
yeah,
they had a big ceremony at TVSA for him.
I had some of his raspberries in my yard when they were thinning their raspberries, and you know they're just such a good example of a couple, too. You know, they used to wear their high-vis vests and bicycle to our meetings together.
Yep, been huge in the 4-H program.
Yes, yes, dedicated a lot of their time. And so Bud was your rifle coach?
Yeah, that's the only rifle coach I had in high school. I shot at College Cubs when Joe Nava was there.
Gotcha.
Before. 2 years. You had to be 10 years old, I think, to join that. Saturday mornings at Patty Gym.
At the Patty Gym.
Yeah. That was the 70s.
I'm so glad you called in to share your stories and your memories. So have you been a member of TVSA since then?
Oh, probably not. I was going to say, I remember girls on the team, too. I had to outshoot girls to get on the varsity team. There was girls shooting.
Back in the 70s, yeah, and winning Olympics.
I had to compete against two girls to get on the varsity team.
And it was pretty hard?
It was great. I loved it. Sometimes
and
I won.
It taught you some discipline, taught you some, you know, get some satisfaction there. When I would go teach at the American Wilderness Leadership School, you know, a lot of these kids would come from outdoorsy families. And there'd always be, you know, a couple of kids that were a little more bookish that hadn't done something like shooting before, and they seemed to be really good. The patient ones seemed to be really good at rifle, and then you'd see all these real outdoorsy kind of, even the girls who were kind of macho, you know, kids kind of rally around them and say, you know, gosh, you know, they weren't the fastest kid on the hike. They didn't know how to tie flies. They didn't know how to do these other things, but you know, with their patience, you know, they could really excel at something like archery and rifle. But thank you for calling in and sharing your story about TVSA and about Bud Burris. He was such a gentleman.
He was awesome. Thanks.
You have a great day. So there are so many memories there, Randy. We only have a few more minutes to wrap up, but that clubhouse is near and dear to so many of us. Some of you much longer than me. You know, I've only been really circulating around there for about 25 years now. But, you know, it's a hub for us. It's a place to connect. And, you know, whether it's the shooting lanes and keeping the shooting active and recruiting new shooters or developing marksmen out of people who have gotten accustomed to it. Now, your association with the National Rifle Association, you may remember Sandy Frohman was the second woman president of the National Rifle Association. I met her around 2000 and 2002 when I was working on some statewide campaigns. She had an interesting story because she wasn't outdoorsy. She was an attorney. She had had a home break-in. She had lived in California. And she ended up going and buying a firearm and taking training for home defense. And then that's when she really, the world opened up to her about the shooting sports and the necessity to keep firearms legal and get more people into training. And she wasn't super outdoorsy. But there is this connect that Tanana Valley Sportsmen's Association has always bridged that, you know, it isn't one without the other. That, you know, you have to have the discipline and the training to be effective when you're out in the field. So, you know, people who think, oh, you know, I bought one and I practiced a few times. No, you need to practice more. You need to practice a lot. You need to be, even if you're not going to be competitive, you need to be proficient and safe. And the other direction, too, that without those of us who hunt, fish, trap, and get outdoors, there isn't the voice for being able to keep the firearms legal for the match competitors.
Exactly right. And I do teach a coaching class, and but the only other ones I teach are safety classes, RSO, which is a Range Safety Officer, our home firearm safety. I'm very big into the safety aspect of it, and I come from probably the coaching aspect. But in reference to the last caller, shooting is one of the sports where men and women are exactly equal. Anatomically, obviously, we're different, and in some of the anatomic situations, women may have a slight advantage over guys. But a lot of it's in your head. But there, it's a great sport where everybody's the same. And in 1976 in Montreal, Lanny Basham, a male, and Margaret Murdoch, a female, tied for the gold medal, and it finally came down to a tie-breaking procedure, of which Lanny won, and Lanny grabbed her hand and pulled her up on the podium with him there, which was highly sought of. Unfortunately, the fathers-to-be of the International Shooting Associations, or the Olympics, decided they were going to split men and women's sports up after that because I don't think they wanted to see women beat men. So.
Well, I love teaching the new shooters, whether it's ladies or just people who have never been around firearms. If you're listening, look for a class online and take one of the introductory classes. Your introductory instructors are going to be very accommodating. Nobody's going to make you feel like you don't belong because one of the things I teach the new shooters who haven't been around firearms, they're a little bit intimidated, is I let them know that there's really an etiquette associated with it, that you as a brand new shooter have the same rights as anyone else on a range to say no, to say don't hand that to me in that manner. That doesn't seem like it's safe. Show me the chamber. Show me nothing's in it before you hand that to me. No, we aren't going down the range yet. People are still at the tables. And it really is a great equalizer when you understand the rules and the etiquette. There's really an etiquette involved with it. But thanks so much, Randy, for being with us on Problem Corner to talk about the history of Tanana Valley Sportsmen's Association. And we'll be looking forward to more information.
My pleasure, Jennifer.
The table is set at Windsor Castle. Elisa Brady, Fox News, a state.